Why don't we start this morning with a prayer? Father, I'd like to start by saying thank you. Thank you for bringing us here in this room. Thank you for getting us up this morning. Thank you for the warmer weather, Father. There's just so many things that we can thank you for. Father, most of all, I thank you for you and for what you've done, for the way that you have saved us and delivered us, in the way that you continue working, continue speaking to each and every one of us, Lord. Father, I pray that this morning our hearts and our minds might be open. I pray that your word might go forth powerfully and mightily, Lord. And I pray that the words that I speak today will not be my own, but only from you, Lord. I pray that we would all leave this place changed and changed by you and your holy scriptures, Jesus. Just thank you and praise you, Lord, and we commit the rest of this service to you. Amen. For the last few weeks, we've heard some pretty, in my opinion, heavy-hitting messages. We saw a video called Fan or Follower, in which we were very abruptly challenged as to whether we are just fans of the Lord or truly followers and disciples. A week or two later, we talked about Colossians and the verse that says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you." And this week, I'd like to kind of continue some of that same theme. But I'm going to continue as though all of you in this room are followers and not fans, and as though at this point you've already put to death a lot of those earthly things. But what about everything else? There's a lot in between, a lot of gray area, if you will. And so to answer that question, I'd like to give you a slightly different question. Let's take a look. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, to follow is to engage in as a calling or a way of life. That definition reminds me a little bit of the children's game, Follow the Leader. Everybody stands in a line, leader at the front, and the goal is to do exactly what that leader does. And one by one, the people who aren't doing it quite right or doing something different get called out and they're out and they can't win. And naturally, the last one left is the one that wins the game and they continue from there. Now, understand that this is not nearly a perfect illustration. Our Christian life is a little bit like that. And that what Jesus wants from us is for us to engage with him as a calling and way of life. He also wants us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. So the real question that I'd like to ask you this morning is, what will you leave to follow Jesus? The closing scene of that video we just watched shows fishing nets. That illustration comes from Matthew chapter 4. And the phrase that came up on the screen during those fishing nets on the pier was, "Will you leave everything you've ever known?" In Matthew chapter 4, we read the following. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. For those four men, being a fisherman, put food on the table. It was a career. It was a way of life. It's what they did. And when Jesus asked each of them to follow him, he knew that. He knew exactly what he was asking them to do, and he knew exactly what the impact would be by them walking away from that. And there's a few of you in this room that you know in your heart the Lord is asking you to leave behind everything you've ever known. But to the rest of you, notice that when Jesus spoke to people when he was on the earth, it wasn't every time that he told crowds and told people, I want you to leave your career, drop everything, follow me, and become the 13th, 14th, 15th disciple. No. That's not how he calls all of us. We're each called uniquely, differently. Some of us less, some of us more. But to all of us, everything in a sense. I'll bet that for each one of us, there's something in our lives that the Lord is asking us to leave behind. Is it your financial security, your ambitions, your downtime, your me time, your political agenda? What is it? You know what it is. And the person sitting next to you may not know what it is, but you do. If you're a follower of Christ and you've given him all of you, then why aren't you letting him use all of you? What are you afraid to leave behind? Think about that. What are you really afraid of? We profess our Christianity. We come to church. We go to youth group. Maybe you're on stage. Maybe you teach a Bible study. But what are you still afraid of? What are you still not willing to let go and leave behind for the Lord? Second Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You know, if we're not willing to leave anything behind, according to this verse, it sounds to me like we're still kind of living for ourselves. Amen? And on one hand, we tell Jesus, I'm following you and I'm giving you everything, Lord. And yet as Christians, we give God so many excuses. There's so many reasons that we give him that we don't want to let something go or leave it behind. And it's kind of like building walls around ourselves. And worse than that, we'll use Christian, godly, biblical principles to justify why we don't want to change. God wants my checkbook, but naturally, he also wants me to take care of my family, and I'm giving him the 10% tithe that he asks for, so I'm okay, right? Maybe not. God wants me to open my house, host a Bible study for my neighbors. Oh, Lord, that's a wonderful idea, and I love it. But you know that one neighbor that's been on my heart? He told me he went to a Bible study on he went to a service on Christmas Eve. I think that church has Bible studies, so if he wants to get involved, maybe he can go to that church, and there's got to be a Bible study around, but not my house. What about your schedule? What about your plans? What about your timetable? And so we build these walls everywhere around us. And it's almost like we're building our house for ourselves. And then when it's all said and done, we say, okay, Lord, look at this wonderful house I built. Now I'm ready for you. You can come, put the roof on, let's close the coffin lid. I'm ready to come home to see you. But by staying inside that little, nice, beautiful, perfect house we've built, we're missing everything outside. And we're missing a much larger plan that God has for our lives. And the real problem is that all those excuses I gave all had one word, my, you fill in the blank. Maybe it's time, maybe it's finances, maybe it's physical security. I don't know what it is for you. But I'm betting you do. And the problem is that little my in front of it. So often we hold back. And we can spend our whole lives telling God, soon, tomorrow, next time, later today, maybe another hour or so. I know a family who recently decided to become foster parents. And, you know, my first response to that, if I felt the Lord calling me to be a foster parent, I can think of 100 reasons to tell God why that's a bad idea. I can imagine. And it would be really difficult if Kay and I felt the Lord was calling us to be foster parents. And that time may come. I have no idea. But it would be difficult for us. But you know the conclusion that this family arrived at? It said, if this is where God is leading us, then we're trusting him enough to take care of our children, our home, and everything in between. That's what I'm talking about, people. That's what this is about. What will you leave to follow Jesus? I'm not sure what God's calling you into. But by going into it, he may ask you to leave something behind. And that something may be minor, or it may be all you've ever known. And the way I see it, the worst that happens is you fulfill Matthew 10:39. That verse says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So by giving God everything and being willing to give up ourselves, the worst that happens is we go to see him. And the way I see it, that's not a bad thing. And no matter what God's asking you into, his truths remain the same. The word of God will never change. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you." That's not going away. Wherever God takes you and whatever he knows you need to leave behind to get here, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you ever, period, infinity. Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" So when you look at it very plainly, what are you afraid of? Do you really think God's not going to take care of you? Do you think God's going to let you not have food? Do you think your own security is more important than what God has in store? Don't you think his plan is probably much, much better? I can tell you from my life, all of my plans and my expectations, when they all take place, it's not what I planned, it's not what I expected, but the outcome, because I'm trying to let the Lord lead it, is always way better than I planned or expected. And I think that's part of how God works. We can only see what's in front of us. We can only see this physical realm. And there's a lot more to the universe than that. If we could only see what God's plan is, it would change everything. And as long as we're on this earth, he doesn't always let us see that. But he'll give us a little piece today, a little piece tomorrow, a little piece after that. And he promises us that we can trust him, that he won't let us fall. He's going to take care of you. His love will never change for you. What will you leave to follow Jesus? I'd like to encourage you this morning to let go. If you've given your life to the Lord, then Christ already lives in you. He's willing to help you live by faith. He's willing to help you let go. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And lastly, I'd like to encourage you to ask God to help you. He wants to hear you. Tell him how difficult this is. Tell him what you're going through. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell him how much you want to do the right thing. And ask for help. And I promise you, he will help. He will give you exactly what you need to fulfill that which he wants you to do. He loves you so much and he wants to help. He's also given us free will, which means he's never going to force himself on us. For the rest of your life, every day, the decision is yours. And he'll be there every day right beside you, waiting patiently, waiting for you to open the door and let him help more. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back? And what do you need to do to get over it? From what I've found, it's not usually nearly as much as I think it is. I'll work up this big pile, this mountain of things I need to get over before I can get to this point. And then I take a step and take a step. And suddenly that mountain is a hill. And God has a way of coming through. And he has a way of changing our perspective. And he wants to so much. So why don't you let him? Please, let him. I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning to leave something behind. As we sing our closing song, I want you to let go. I want you to give up the fears you have about letting go and start letting the Lord work. If you need to get on your knees, please do. If you want to come up to the altar and spend some alone time with the Lord, I encourage you. If you need to raise your hands or go to the back of the room for a little more privacy, please, I'm asking you, do what you need to do to have that time with the Lord this morning. After we finish up this morning, if you'd like to continue this conversation, or maybe you want to talk to somebody about this little message, I'm going to ask Bill and Lynn to come up here and be here to pray with you. Father, I pray that your words would change us this morning. I pray that these words would not be quickly forgotten. I pray that your word would linger in our minds, Father. I pray that you begin to work in our hearts, begin to work in our families, begin to work in our jobs, our careers, our ways of life, Lord. We're asking you to help, Lord. And God, it's hard. This life isn't usually easy. But I know you want to help. Your word says you want to help, and it says you will help if we ask, Lord. So we are asking you this morning, Father. We're asking for your input. We're asking for your conviction. Father, teach us to trust you. Teach us to fall more in love with you and be willing to leave this world behind, whatever it may be, Father. There's so many things that so quickly entangle us and take over, Father, and that's what we want to leave behind this morning. Help us to move into that which you are calling us into, Jesus. Father, I thank you and I pray to you this morning, Father. Amen.